Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Thursday, May 2nd, 2024. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Nez Perce Clearwater National Forest says the forest has amended the end of the world logging project after lawsuit and will move forward with selling the woods. Idaho joins Title IX lawsuit against Biden administration protections for LGBT students, and WSU employees union and Democratic Socialist groups have a May Day picnic in Pullman to celebrate victory and reflect on struggles. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. Nez Perce Clearwater National Forest Supervisor Cheryl Probert says the forest is preparing an environmental impact statement for the end-of-the-world timber sales 6 miles south of Grangeville. Probert calls the project fuel reduction, which she says will decrease the risk and impacts of high-intensity wildfire. In 2022, U.S. District Judge Candy Dale blocked the end-of-the-world project and another fuel reduction project on the forest called the Hungry Horse Project, ruling that the Moscow-based Friends of the Clearwater Environmental Group was correct in alleging forest officials took liberties outside reasonable interpretation of the Nez Perce Clearwater Forest Plan when creating an inventory of old-growth timber in the area. The Forest Service must adhere to minimum old-growth standards. According to the Lewiston Tribune, Supervisor Probert said the new environmental impact statement will address cumulative effects the project will have on old growth in the combined project areas on a ridge separating the South Fork Clearwater and Salmon River watersheds. The Forest Service says the project will benefit wildlife and aquatic habitat, meadows, and will include culvert replacements to decrease runoff and erosion. The Idaho Supreme Court says it will expedite a case in which three developers sued the state for reversing the sale of the 44-acre Idaho Transportation Department campus in Boise to them. The three companies, Hawkins Companies, the Pacific Companies, and FJ Management, alleged the legislature violated the state constitution when it passed a Transportation Department budget that removed the Transportation Department's ability to make the $52 million sale. In the lawsuit filed April 25th, the companies said the budget bill violates the state constitution because it addresses more than one issue. Governor Brad Little let the ITD budget become law without his signature, but expressed concern the reversal of the sale could cause damage to the state's reputation because it would change policy on how state agencies handle surplus property. Lawmakers who opposed the budget said renovating the old Idaho Transportation Department headquarters on the campus, which had been damaged by flooding, would be a better use of taxpayer money. Lawmakers inserted $32.5 million into the ITT budget for the renovation. The three companies say the legislature was heavy-handed because it stopped an ongoing competitive bid process. The companies want the Supreme Court to declare part or all of the Idaho Transportation Department and Administration Department budget bills unconstitutional and require the state to move forward with the sale. Idaho Governor Brad Little announced the state has joined a lawsuit with other Republican-dominated states challenging a Biden administration change of Title IX rules to address sex discrimination. Idaho Attorney General Raul Labrador said the state is joining Louisiana, Mississippi, and Montana in the suit challenging the new rules. According to the Idaho Education News, Governor Little said he and State Superintendent of Public Instruction Debbie Critchfield support the action. Labrador said extending sex discrimination protections to LGBTQ students, as the Biden administration has ordered, is a twisting of Title IX law. Title IX has been in effect since 1972. The suit also alleges the rules do not define gender identity, which would require new interpretations of the administration's intent. In a news release, Attorney General Labrador wrote, "The new definition of discrimination that includes gender identity will have a profound impact on the progress Title IX has made for girls and women in our society. With a single act, the Biden administration threatens decades of progress and opportunities for our females, while also subjecting them to the indignity of exposure to males in their locker rooms and bathrooms." The new rules are set to take effect August 1st. In addition to the suit from the four Republican-dominated states, Texas filed a separate lawsuit this week. Texas Governor Greg Abbott, who has long supported discrimination against gay people, ordered the Texas Education Agency to ignore the new Title IX rules. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis said Florida will not comply with the new rules. In a statement Tuesday, Governor Little wrote an objection to the directive, saying, "With this final rule, President Biden is attempting to rewrite Title IX and broaden its meaning far beyond what Congress passed into law. In doing so, President Biden is exceeding the law and encroaching on Idaho's democratic process." State Superintendent of Public Instruction Debbie Critchfield released a statement saying, "Many local Idaho education agencies are understandably concerned about implementing the new Title IX regulations and how subsequent enforcement could impact their day-to-day operations. We are working with the Office of the Attorney General to analyze the significant changes and what they mean for districts and charters. I fully support the state's legal action against the federal government, the current administration's tactic of inserting itself into the business of states, and in this instance, locally elected school board members, has grown tiresome. These sorts of actions waste valuable time and resources and take away from our focus on educating kids." In a visit to Lewiston's new high school yesterday, Idaho Governor Brad Little used the new facility as a setting to highlight his successful effort at persuading state lawmakers to fund a few of his education priorities. At a news conference at the A. Neil Diatley Career Technical Education Center, Little took questions from student journalists and other members of the media. According to the Lewiston Tribune, the governor said he has been laser-focused on getting lawmakers to approve new education rules. Little said, combined with advanced training of high school students before they graduate, new education facilities will help make the state more attractive to young people. He said, "It's going to make it to where I know kids are going to have the best opportunity to stay here in Idaho and to have a successful career here in Idaho." Governor Little said lawmakers passed another measure which helps school districts with upgrades to deteriorating facilities and replacing dilapidated school buildings. He said the Lewiston School District will have access to as much as $19 million for facility improvements over the next 10 years with the passage of House Bill 521, the school facility bill. He said, "I put this year $1.5 billion into a fund that's going to be available for either modernization or new buildings, whether it's maintenance, whether it's a new school, whether it's writing down bonds. Fill in the blanks. The state never put money into facilities before, and now we are." Lewiston School District Superintendent Lance Hansen called Little a friend of education. Introducing Little to the audience, Hansen said, "He's invested millions of dollars in early childhood literacy, and that, I can tell you, has paid dividends in the Lewiston School District and around the state. And he also sees the other end, where he developed opportunities for Idaho Launch to get our students into high-demand jobs." The legislature approved funding for Little's signature program, Idaho Launch, during the most recent legislative session. The program gives up to $8,000 to high school seniors looking for training in high-demand fields. Little said he will continue to oppose using tuition vouchers, which are supposed to help less advantaged families afford tuition to send their children to private schools, because he says vouchers will take funding away from public schools and give it to private schools with no oversight. The governor said the issue is really, do we take precious general fund money and make it available for others, for schools that don't have to comply with the same criteria that Mr. Hansen is tasked to do here with the Lewiston School District? that there is accountability, that there is transparency. And you're tuned into the KRFP Evening Report. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman.
KRFP is sponsored by Mikey's Euros, specializing in Greek and Middle Eastern cuisine, such as Euros, falafel, hummus, and tabbouleh, located at 527 South Main Street in Moscow.
For information on becoming a KRFP underwriter, go to krfp.org and click Support KRFP.
Advocates for the rights of people with disabilities have joined the Montana Quality Education Association in a suit to stop a school voucher bill in the state. Montana is the latest to enact a plan that allows parents to pay private school tuition with public money. Montana's Senate Bill 393 is much more narrowly focused than educational savings accounts in other states. In Montana, the money is limited to reimbursing services for special education students and those with disabilities. Riley Summers Flanagan is a lawyer helping oversee the suit and says Montana's version of the ESA requires special ed students to renounce their right to a free, quality education under the state constitution, and forego federal assistance, too.
In exchange for renouncing that, they can gain access to anywhere between $5,000 and $8,000 annually, which, as we all know, is not enough money to educate a child for a year under any circumstances, let alone a student who may have special needs and may have particularly expensive special needs depending on the circumstances.
School voucher measures are growing across the nation. 29 states now have some form of them. The suit to block Montana Senate Bill 393 was filed in state court in Helena. In addition to the critics' standard argument that funding ESAs with state education money comes at the expense of public K-12 classrooms, Summers Flanagan says the ESAs won't make enough money available to adequately fund special needs students anyway.
It's a lose-lose situation. It's incredibly harmful. It appears just to be a gambit to try to privatize public money and to send it to vendors and to folks who have no accountability and no responsibility to genuinely meet the needs of kids with disabilities in Montana.
Supporters have said they can do a better job educating their own kids than the state can because they understand their students' strengths and weaknesses. This is Mark Moran for Big Sky Connection.
Hey, all right, thank you guys. How's everybody feeling out there?
Thank you so much. It's our pleasure to be here, which is really the institutional lives.
Here's an old Grateful Dead tune.
What a great day. Thanks all for showing up.
About stuff that happened at the Ren Fair years past.
KRFP has scrumptious food. The KRFP food booth at this weekend's Renaissance Fair has tacos, poutine, and fries.
It's my pleasure right now to introduce a fairly new local band.
Stop by and support KRFP's efforts to remain solvent Saturday and Sunday in East City Park. And when you're not at the Renaissance Fair, you can tune into 90.3 and hear all the main stage music live on your community radio station.
Deal cut, blackened and peppered, rock hot, hip dip, cockeyed, funk, trunk, flat on your back, hands off, dance off, machine.
The Idaho Department of Environmental Quality fined the Meridian-based company The Track Doctor, LLC, for polluting Paradise Creek in Moscow in June 2023. The Department of Environmental Quality said the school district hired Track Doctor to resurface the athletic track at Moscow Middle School last year. The agency alleges an employee of the business illegally dumped 55 gallons of binder fluid into Paradise Creek. The Daily News reports the city of Moscow alerted the department on June 22nd about the violation. A Track Doctor official told the Daily News they fired the employee who dumped the binder fluid into the stream. Track Doctor agreed to pay a $7,600 fine. Members of three campus Democratic Socialist groups from and the United Auto Workers Union that won a pay raise and increased benefits for Washington State University students this year met in Rainy Park in Pullman yesterday for a May Day picnic and to celebrate their efforts. WSU graduate student Pat Mahoney works for the university and is studying in the Public Affairs, Political Science, and Philosophy Department.
This was the work of so many people
right.
across the system, across the different, you know, like campuses and extension centers and stuff like that. And there was like a lot of like hard conversations people had to have. But in the end, I think it was positive. Like, I'm really happy that we're going to be celebrating the contract here.
Beatrice Cafe gave an overview of wins for WSU student employees this year after the strike, which only lasted a few hours in January.
We secured, I think, one of the most impressive contracts, like first contracts many unions have ever had. We have a minimum of a 5% raise, but up to a 43% or even higher raise if you're in Vancouver for next fall.
Woo!
Healthcare plan now. We have a formal grievance process. We have vacation leave. We have sick leave. We have annual leave. We have so many good things thanks to this contract. And I'm really excited for us to actually experience a lot of the benefits coming up. We're going to be seeing some of those in a few weeks. And it's really going to hit the ground rolling next fall and the fall after that. Since then, we've successfully put together an effective bylaws document that makes sure that our union is able to administer itself and has something to lean on when we're making decisions, as opposed to making decisions ad hoc. We are electing our first executive board, and that's going to set the precedent for our union moving forward. That means that we're going to start seeing a lot of dramatic changes. We're going to start seeing, like, what sort of union we will be, as opposed to what sort of union we can be. And I'm very hopeful that moving forward, we're going to continue some of the practices and beliefs that we instituted during bargaining. Like, for example, any member in our unit should have a voice. And if you want to come to bargaining, if you want to participate in bargaining, you should be able to come.
WSU graduate student Carla De Lira ran unopposed and won a Pullman City Council seat last year. De Lira connected the unionization drive with wider struggles in the community.
And then what I really, really need help on is more engagement and pressure to put on City Council around tenants' rights and representation in a formal work group. Because we currently don't have that, and I've been getting a lot of pushback on that. So as I said, it matters to hear from all of you. The more engagement we have around these concerns, the more it makes it to city goals and priorities. City goals and priorities translate to budget decisions. So I really, really urge everyone to write to the City Council.
That was Pullman City Council member Carla De Lira speaking at the May Day picnic in Rainy Park yesterday. One of the co-chairs of Palouse Democratic Socialists of America also spoke at the picnic.
And so I think it's really important and inspiring that since about 2016, we have a mass socialist organization in this country again, with tens of thousands of members organizing around the country in the form of DSA, the Democratic Socialists of America. And that means that socialists, people who fight for the long-term interests of the working class, are active in all sorts of spheres, whether electorally, getting socialist, tribunes of the people into elected office in order to champion the interests of the working class, whether in labor, revitalizing America's unions, fighting to reform them, make them more democratic, and make them real fighting instruments of the working class, or in anti-imperialist struggles like we're seeing right now with the really inspiring movement and solidarity with Palestine to end the Israeli war on and genocide in Gaza. I think it's really important that we look, and that's the purpose of International Workers' Day, is the name of May Day. We look for the long-term universal interests of the working class and stick to principle and champion, you know, the interests of oppressed and exploited people around the world. You know, this picnic is happening the day after police in New York raided the encampment at Columbia University. I think 1,200 arrests have happened at Columbia so far, which is really terrible. The capitalists are organized. The imperialists are organized. They have a hell of a lot of force and guns and jackboots on their side. But we have solidarity, and we have the majority of oppressed and exploited people around the world, and we need organization, and we need militancy, and we need solidarity.
During an interview at the picnic, student Pat Mahoney discussed how struggles around the world are connected to the war on Gaza.
In general, there's a pretty big like pro-Palestine contingent here on campus. Obviously, the conflict in generally is like a little bit more complicated, but I think the thing is like right now the word on the street is basically like Israel can do whatever it wants, and even when someone in another country protests, Israel's like, that's not allowed, right? I mean, we're seeing their, you know, the influence of like, you know, groups like AIPAC and stuff like that and CAMRA and stuff like that on like trying to paint all these protests as anti-Semitic, right, or something like that, when it's like obviously it's not the case. There's plenty of like Jewish comrades that have been involved in this work for a very long time,
right?
But I think also like, you know, groups like Jewish Voice for Peace and stuff like that have come out, and people have been like, you know, not in our name.
KRFP citizen journalist Brenda Cox contributed to this story. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather, mostly clear tonight. Areas of frost, lows in the mid to upper 30s. Areas of frost in the morning tomorrow, sunny, high in the 60s. Mostly cloudy Friday night, lows in the mid 40s to low 50s. Mostly cloudy Saturday, 40% chance of rain, highs in the mid to upper 60s. East winds 5 to 15, gusts up to 20. 70% chance of rain Saturday night, lows in the upper 30s to low 40s, southwest winds 5 to 15, gusts up to 20, and 80% chance of precipitation in the form of rain showers Sunday, breezy, highs in the 40s, and much cooler. Currently, 61 degrees. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or you can go to the KRFP website to find out more ways to help KRFP. There's a drop-down box there that says support KRFP. Or you can purchase tacos, poutine, fries, and food and drink at the KRFP food booth this Saturday and Sunday at Moscow Renaissance Fair in East City Park. I'm Lee Robartis. Jim Roach assisted with tonight's newscast. Coming up, we'll have an episode of Noise Filter Radio, followed by Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio, appearing locally where we feature music from bands that are coming to the Moscow Pullman area or already here, 7 to 7:30, 8 o'clock maximum rock and roll, and at 9 o'clock, not dark yet, with the Academy on the air live from the studios 9 to 11. At 11 o'clock, we got recorded jam band concerts with The Ride, 11 p.m. to 1 a.m., so stay tuned. Music, information, entertainment throughout your evening here at KRFP Moscow Pullman.
KRFP is sponsored by Spectrum 2 Art and Dance Studios, specializing in art and dance classes for child
through adult. 525 South Main Street in Moscow. Information at 208-882-1445. UBU Dance Guru at msn.com or spectrum2studio.com. For information on becoming a KRFP underwriter, go to krfp.org and click Support KRFP.